On Wednesday, the Amash Amendment to the Defense Appropriations Bill was defeated by a razor-thin margin, 205 to 217 votes in the House of Representatives. The amendment, introduced by Republican Representative Justin Amash and co-sponsored by Democratic Representative John Conyers, both of Michigan, would have defunded the National Security Agency's program of dragnet surveillance of Americans' telephone and internet records. The amendment gathered strong support from both inside Congress and among the public at large, from both civil liberties advocates and conservative libertarians, and it was strongly opposed by the Obama administration. With a slim majority voting against the amendment, the dragnet surveillance will continue, at least for the time being. But with the vote so close, the question for those who want that suspicionless surveillance of the entire population to end is the glass half empty or half full?
Absolutely half full.
Shahed Buttar is executive director of the Bill of Rights Defense Committee.
It is critical to recognize that the vote yesterday was the high watermark of resistance to the national security state since the Patriot Act was first adopted over a decade ago. To come within six votes on a House appropriations bill to defunding the government's most secret agency is remarkable, and it really, particularly with the August congressional recess coming up, bodes very well for the future of civil liberties and the opportunities to finally restore the Fourth Amendment to the Constitution.
There was an extreme push by the administration in the last couple of days, with Keith Alexander going to the House for secret briefings. President Obama was certainly pressuring them to turn it down, and the chair of the House Intelligence Committee as well. How much did this play into it? Did they really sway the vote to barely pull it out?
Yeah, it very well may have been the case that had the Obama administration not actively championed a Bush administration program, that we would have seen it defunded yesterday in the House. I'll just cite the former press secretary of the Bush administration, Ari Fleischer, who described the Obama administration, in his view, to its credit, as the fourth term of the Bush administration. And it is absolutely gravely disappointing that the president has not only chosen to cast his lot with the NSA, but when members of Congress across each of the major parties did try to challenge it, unfortunately, the president was on the wrong side, and he did exactly what he pledged in his 2008 campaign to stop, which is to use security as a bludgeon to undermine liberty. And remember, as a candidate for the White House, he promised a very core element of his platform, which he has inescapably betrayed, was to restore the balance between liberty and security. His administration's lobbying efforts around the Amash Amendment and the effort to rein in NSA abuses is absolutely opposed to his promises as a candidate and only extends the constitutional abuses of the Bush administration to new heights.
How far would the Amash Amendment have gone to actually reining in the NSA? It was somewhat conditional. It wasn't absolute.
It wasn't absolute. What it would have done is permit the NSA to continue monitoring domestic communications where the target is a particular individual suspected of a terror offense. And that should not be controversial. That gives the law enforcement and intelligence communities plenty of room to run with legitimate investigations. What it would particularly have stopped is the bulk dragnet collection of the electronic communications and phone communications of hundreds of millions of Americans who are not suspected of doing anything wrong. And that also should be uncontroversial, because in a country that claims to lead the free world, that is a very basic principle that we should all agree on.
The amendment had the support of at least one of the authors of the Patriot Act. Is that a significant departure from the way the act is being applied?
Absolutely. James Sensenbrenner is a Republican member of Congress from Wisconsin who was one of the original proponents of the Patriot Act and a chief champion for its reauthorization in later years. For him to publicly repudiate the application of the Patriot Act by the executive branch is a huge deal for at least two reasons. The first is he's not a civil libertarian. He's not a progressive, but he understands the principles at work here. And for the author of the Patriot Act to take this position, wanting to check and balance executive abuses, is massive any way you look at it. There's another way to look at it, which is also very interesting. The vote last night broke down not according to party lines, but within party lines, which is to say Democrats and Republicans joined against Democrats and Republicans. the way that the fault line split was that you had establishment Dems and establishment Republicans very narrowly defeating an effort by progressive Dems and libertarian Republicans to champion a constitutional perspective. So basically you have the career politicians against the constitutionalists. And Sensenbrenner is a career politician who voted with the constitutionalists. He defected from the cabal, you might say, of members of Congress who are in bed with the national security state to, as we would hope all members of Congress would, given that they swear oaths of office to defend the Constitution, he adopted a constitutional perspective. Whether you look at it as Sensenbrenner repudiating the application of the Legislative Act that he pioneered, or whether you look at it as him defecting from the establishment career politicians to join some of the upstarts in the ideological wings of the Congress, either way you slice it, his presence as a vote for the Amash Amendment was a big deal. And it suggests that there will be more after the August congressional recess, when members of Congress will likely feel a great deal of heat from constituents upset at their continuing willingness to place the national security state above the Constitution and we the people of the United States.
The Patriot Act comes up for periodic reauthorization, as well as individual provisions of the Patriot Act. When will Section 215 be up for reauthorization? And does this bode well for perhaps a no vote on the authorization itself?
It may bode well for a no vote on reauthorization, but just to note, reauthorization is not the only opportunity to rein in these abuses. For instance, in the Senate, the chair of the Judiciary Committee, Patrick Leahy, in the House, John Conyers, the ranking member on the House Judiciary Committee, as well as Justin Amash, who introduced the amendment last night, all of these members of Congress have introduced affirmative pieces of legislation that would change Section 215 even before the next reauthorization opportunity. Basically, the reauthorization votes are compelled by sunset provisions. And Congress need not wait for a sunset. Sunset forces Congress to act, but there's no reason that Congress has to wait for the next sunset, which in any case, I believe will be at least 2015. But again, there's lots of interest in the Congress across multiple legislative vehicles to do something before then. And I certainly expect Congress to do something this year before the end of 2013 to restore some modicum of accountability to our nation's domestic spying efforts.
The wiretapping operations of the NSA actually began without congressional authorization. How can we guarantee that they would not continue, considering the resolve of those who believe that this is absolutely essential to national security?
Great question, and you're absolutely right that the programs that are now generating controversy did begin in secret. They were absolutely illegal when they started, and there is no plausible claim that anyone has advanced that they were legal at the time. They were absolutely illegal, and no one has ever faced accountability for it. In fact, the new nominee to lead the FBI has gotten a lot of credit for stopping one version of that program. Well, he was complicit in the secret, illegal, warrantless surveillance that the NSA began in 2002. So not only has there not been any accountability, but people have been promoted on the basis of their supposed resistance to it. You're absolutely right that the national security arena is largely insulated from public accountability. It does effectively stand above the law, which is very problematic and disturbing. Again, in a country that claims to lead the free world, it suggests that the rule of law is much less strong in the United States than some people might think. And if Congress attempted to rein in these kinds of abuses, and yet the National Security Agency and the FBI and other agencies, as they have before, continued to violate the law, the difference and the reason why the congressional vote remains very important is that it would at least clarify the illegality of the executive abuses. And let me just explain why that's important. In 2002, when the NSA began spying on Americans en masse in secret without legal approval, it did it in violation of a statute that was 30 years old, the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. There's a big difference between violating a statute that was passed by a Congress a generation ago and violating a statute passed by the current Congress. And if Congress attempts to rein in these programs and potential violations later come to light, I do hope that the more recent act of Congress would encourage members to more vigorously exercise their oversight roles, to be more willing to embrace impeachment of executive officials as a penalty for their violations, of their limits and potentially even encouraging them to support perjury charges. You know, the Director of National Intelligence in the last 3 months outright lied to Congress through his teeth in response to a direct question that he had advance notice of. And some people have suggested that his apologies for his lies actually make the lies even worse. Because what he basically said when confronted with the fact that he'd lied to Congress was, well, I gave the most truthful answer that I could, which is preposterous. The most truthful answer would be the truth, right? And when you lie to Congress, you not only lie to the people in the room, but you lie to the press, you lie to the public. And there is no graver crime in a democracy. And yet the Director of National Intelligence, no one's prosecuting him, even though he's committed a grave public crime in the open. And I do hope that votes to rescind these powers, to restore accountability, to increase transparency, even if they are met with secret resistance and co-optation and circumvention by the national security agencies, will at least create hooks and pegs for later accountability should those abuses ultimately come to light.
Not only did Clapper lie, but he lied to somebody who knew the truth at the time that he asked the question.
Yes, indeed.
Okay, Shahid, is there anything else that you think is important to get in right now?
I would just say that the August congressional recess presents an enormous opportunity for grassroots supporters of constitutional rights. When members of Congress leave Washington to return home to the districts they represent almost for the entire month of August, it is the high watermark of their sensitivity to grassroots concerns. And anyone can schedule a meeting with their representative while they're home in your district. Anyone can write an op-ed or a letter to the editor of your local paper. Anyone can organize a rally or a protest on the steps of your representative's office, especially if they voted the wrong way on the Amash Amendment. For representatives who did vote in favor of the Amash Amendment that lost, August is a great time to thank them for abiding by their oaths of office and remembering the interests of their constituents and protecting constitutional rights. And for those who did not, August is an absolutely crucial time to show up at their political events, to show up at their fundraisers, ask the tough questions. Why are you denigrating the Constitution, and why are you supporting secret abuses of our rights as Americans? These are questions that they have to get asked, to be forced to be put on the record. And August is a critical time to make it happen. I would just say to any of your listeners who want support, training, materials, guidance, coaching, we at the Bill of Rights Defense Committee are standing by to help you, and you can contact our organizing team at organizing@BORDC, Bill of Rights Defense Committee, organizing@BORDC.org.
Shahid Buttar is Executive Director of the Bill of Rights Defense Committee.